A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is the last Sunday in the month of August. It is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. We want to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while, and to remind ourselves that we go back to our physical church services on the 20th of September, that is next month. Let us now listen to the call to worship.
I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cry for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you my thanks forever. Let us worship God. Our first hymn this morning is Come, Now is the Time to Worship.
Come, now is the time to worship. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your
choose you now. One day every tongue will confess. but as trees. Creator God, you have created all things good. Nothing is beyond your reach or your redemption. You are the God of the whole universe, of all of creation, and yet you are mindful of us. You call on us to reveal your presence and to speak of your faithfulness from generation to generation. Wherever we gather, you are there. You were there before we arrived, and we will be there when we leave. Your presence makes every space a sacred space. You delight in our praise and rejoice in all your people who find a way to acknowledge your presence in our world and in our lives. May our worship bring us back to you and increase our awareness of your beating heart at the center of life, calming our fears and restoring our souls, knowing ourselves beloved of God, united with all your creatures in heaven and on earth. Let us now join together in the prayer Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, verses 9 to 20. Isaiah 38, 9 to 20. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the prime of my life, I must go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years. I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of his anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you, death cannot sing your praise. For those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. And our next reading is in the New Testament, from Mark chapter 14, verses 8 to 18. Mark chapter 14, 8 to 18. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And we will now sing our next hymn, "Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I'm sorry, there is a slight error in the second reading that was read to us by Jane. That's my fault. It's supposed to be Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. So you can read that later on. It's about the healing of the man who was deaf. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. But now I want to read to you my text for this morning. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 8 to 18. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet, he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones so that we might feel our spirits leap for joy and skip with hope as your resurrection witnesses. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid. I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid. That was the cry of King Hezekiah of Judea when he felt hopeless in his sickness, and after he had been advised by the prophet Isaiah that he was going to die. Isaiah 38, verse 9 to 20 is indeed a writing of King Hezekiah recounting how unfortunate his circumstances had been when he almost lost his life at a young age. And Hezekiah gives thanks to God for God's grace, for keeping him alive for a few more years. Here is an excerpt of his cry. "I said, I will not again see the Lord. The Lord in the land of the living, no longer will I look on mankind or be with those who dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrust. I mourned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am troubled. O Lord, come to my aid. It sounds like a familiar tale for most people who face near-death experiences or have survived one. Think of desperate Africans and compatriots of parts of the Middle East and Asia fleeing war and oppressive or dictatorial regimes and losing their lives in the Mediterranean as they struggle to cross into Europe to seek a better life. The story of 31 Vietnamese nationals dying inside a truck container in southeastern England while being illegally smuggled into the United Kingdom in October last year speaks for more. Or think of Anglophone Cameroonians living in a country that is rightfully theirs, as if they were strangers and faced with the prospect of death, both from separatist fighters and the military, pretending to protect the citizens, but rather driving their own personal and selfish agendas. And then there are the African Americans, who nevertheless have to face the unfortunate reality that they are not welcomed in their own country. The white supremacist agenda in the United States of America and other parts of the Western world means that the shooting of a black person by white policemen is interpreted only to mean that blacks are criminals and destructive individuals. That is why a tragic act of shooting an African American 7 times, leaving him paralyzed, does not deserve attention or mention by a sitting president seeking another term in office. If Donald Trump is the only person who can liberate America from its current problems, then, as one commentator rightly puts it, it is only Donald Trump that can save Americans from Trump's America. And then we think of individual problems of ill health and aging complications with all the pains and aches. The economic crisis and the current pandemic that has left many confused about what to believe or not, and how to go about life with all the uncertainties that are sometimes fabricated for some political agendas. The tragedies of our world loom large, and like King Hezekiah, we cry, "I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid." In his foreword to the book, Two Steps Back, C. Swindoll has suggested that every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities, brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid. That seems to be the theme that runs through the lessons of this morning. In them, we find hopelessness and desperation, but we also find the determination to overcome trouble and heroic or historic cure. Think of the theme of hopelessness. The prophet Isaiah was sent by God to say to King Hezekiah to put his house in order because he was going to die. From Isaiah 38, verses 9, Hezekiah paints a picture of his life after surviving death and in thankfulness to God. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? In other words, he had been wondering why he should die so young or prematurely, and his eyes had grown weak as he looked to the heavens. I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid. In Mark chapter 7, verse 31, some people brought a man to Jesus who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on the man. The details of the man's condition are intended to show the magnitude of the problem and his hopelessness. And in Acts chapter 14, our text, we hear of the cripple in Lystra. He was lame from birth and had never walked. Three characters are presented to us with problems of sickness, disability, and even hopelessness. King Hezekiah, the deaf man, and the cripple. But we also learn of their determination to live or to have a better life. In the case of Hezekiah, when he was told by the prophet he was going to die, he did not accept the verdict. Instead, he went to God in prayer. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And we are told also that Hezekiah wept bitterly. Here was a man determined to live and who sought God's intervention to keep him alive. This is important because, as one commentator has remarked, victory is always possible for the person who refuses to stop fighting. But I am interested in what Hezekiah does to fight his case and to reverse the verdict about his death. In his prayer, he reminds God of his character and conduct and commitment. He has been faithful and devoted and walked before the Lord in true commitment. And we are told that the Lord answers him favorably. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears, says the Lord. I will add 15 more years to your life. His determination and faithful service to the Lord has paid off, and 15 more years have been added to his life. In the case of the man who was deaf in Mark 7, his friends or family were determined to get a solution to his problem, and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus Christ healed him with the most tender consideration for the feelings of a man for whom life had been very difficult. But if the friends of the deaf man were determined to have him healed, it was the lame man himself in Acts of the Apostles who showed his willingness and determination and faith that led to his healing. The man in Lystra had been lame from birth and had never walked. When Paul was preaching, he listened interestingly, and Paul noticed him. There was something about the way he looked. Something about the way he listened. There was an eagerness about him that caught Paul's attention. He saw the incipient faith, faith to believe, faith to be healed. And Paul's heart went out to the man. Paul was not interested in physical healing as an end in itself, but as a means to an end. So he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked. In healing the cripple, Paul did not whisper. He shouted. Paul did not say to himself, "What if it doesn't work?" He raised his voice so that all those standing around could hear. Such boldness resulted from Paul's absolute conviction that he was acting in complete cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The lame man leaped to his feet in response to Paul's command. And for the first time in his life, began to jump around. It was a notable miracle. And I reckon somebody listening to me this morning is seeking a similar experience in some area of his or her life. But are you bold enough to ask for God's favor, like Paul did and others in our texts? "I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid." Here are three different personalities who come to God with their trouble, and God answers and makes their lives better and brighter. Friend, I do not know what is troubling you this morning. Are you worried about racial injustice and the economic inequality and dictatorial regimes in the world that continue to make the world insecure for many? Or maybe you have recently received a bad medical report suggesting that your days are numbered. Is that true for somebody this morning? But can you believe from Scripture, as I wish to urge you, that God can change your story and add more years to your life? Of course, I know that you trust medical science and the proficiency of medical doctors. But I hope you know that the Word of God is alive, it's life-giving. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and able to do for us what he did for King Hezekiah and others. The only thing you need to do is speak to God about your faithfulness to him. Can you declare like Hezekiah, "I have served you faithfully and loyally, and I've always tried to do what you wanted me to do"? If so, then I want to suggest to you that if it is in God's will for you, the same words that God gave King Hezekiah will become yours. "I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will let you live. I will rescue you and your city from any form of captivity, and I will continue to protect you." Or again, are you suffering from some physical disability or ailment that has gone on for far too long and you've come to Christ seeking healing? It may not be deafness or lameness, but another form of sickness or trouble that is hindering normal life. What is it? But can I ask you what effort you have made to capture the attention of the Lord, or how determined you are to have your problem solved? We are told that the cripple in Lystra committed himself to the message and listened intently to the preaching of the apostle to the extent of attracting their attention and thus his deliverance. What I learned from the attitude of the cripple is that coming to church is not enough. We need to listen intently to the word of God, not just because we want physical healing, but most importantly, because we long for spiritual nourishment. And when our souls are spiritually nourished, physical healing would come. And let us not give up hope, but trust in the Lord. Many of us, dear Christian friends, live our lives in a fog. We allow a cup full of troubles to cloud our vision and dampen our spirit. Anxiety, turmoil, and defeat strangle our thoughts. Our lives are being choked by the cares of this world. And we have forgotten the Apostle Paul's helpful encouragement at 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. We need not let our troubles weigh us down. We need live in the sunshine as we entrust our lives to God, because weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I am troubled, O Lord, come to my aid. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us again this morning. We thank you for your word, for your life-giving word, and for the assurances that we receive from your word, that when we seek you, we would find you, that when we entrust ourselves and all that we are into your hands, Father, you would grant us the healing that we need and that we deserve from your hand. We pray, O God, for times when we have not trusted in that promise which you made in Scripture. Forgive us and renew us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We will now sing Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
And now let us come together with our prayer of dedication for our offering. Our monetary offerings are made in a variety of ways, especially in these difficult times. Let us now pray for God's blessing on all we are giving to his work. Let us pray. Lord God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we make our offerings as an expression of our thanks and praise, and as recognition that we are called to employ these gifts you entrust to us for your good purposes. Accept these offerings which your people make to you, and grant that the cause to which they are devoted may prosper under your guidance, to the glory of your name. Amen. There are many souls, but few of us who take time to really pray for them. There are many suffering bodies, yet too few helpers to minister to them. In our prayers of intercession, let us now pledge ourselves to both loving prayer and loving deed. Let us pray our prayer of dedication and prayers for others. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for the peace of the world. Please continue your divine patience with us and help us move closer to the destiny you promise. For an end of terrorism and war, and for international commitment for just arbitration. For those maimed and abused, diseased and dying, frightened and sorrowful. For the exposure of all injustices, and for a new courage from all nations to outlaw them. For the resettlement of refugees and the uplifting of the downtrodden. For a fairer sharing of the earth's resources and the feeding of the malnourished. We pray for those on whose work we depend, for those who each day do monotonous jobs for us, supermarket workers, mail sorters, those who fill potholes, those who deliver newspapers, or who weed public gardens, cleaners in offices and hospitals, factory workers. For those who do exacting work, where every detail is important, nurses, bus drivers, toolmakers and pharmacists, pilots and pathology technicians, cabinet makers, psychiatrists, opticians. For those whose work is always under critical observation, counsellors and politicians, doctors and social workers, teachers and students, police officers. We pray for those who are today in a crisis, for those for whom life has become unexpectedly difficult, the victims of road accidents or sudden deaths, and their stunned loved ones, people who discover that they have contracted a serious illness, or whose loved one is dying or has died, for once loving relationships that are falling apart, and for parents who are distressed for their runaway children, for single parents and parentless children, and the victims of domestic abuse whose cries for help have gone unnoticed by family or friends. We pray for any who have just lost their jobs or have been long unemployed, those who continue on in stressful work situations, those who suffer racist or sexual discrimination, for those caught up in or are concerned about the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for the church. We pray, loving God, for your church in its many denominations, for those who lead worship in its many varied formats, and those who simply partake in that worship. Bless those faithful and active members who are the backbone of each congregation, those who carry uneven loads, the elderly members who regret that they can no longer serve the church as they once did, and the young folk who are keen for some responsibility. God of all things seen and unseen, friend of all people, please receive our prayers and set them to work for the greater glory of the Commonwealth of Christ Jesus. Help us to allow the peace of Christ, which this world's sophistication cannot match, to keep us sure-footed even-handed and open-armed, ready to assist those hurting folk whom you may send our way this week. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.